Grace to you and peace. I need a little help just to start. I'm curious. We come together each and every week, Wednesdays and Sundays, to worship and glorify God, to say we are not God and God is God. But we also come to be fed, to be nourished, to meet our own needs as well. And so I'm curious, when you think about God and when you think about coming to worship or being a part of a community of faithful folks, what do you need from God? What's the word or the characteristic, the identity of God that for you is necessary at this moment? I'll start. I need empathy. I need God to experience and understand what we're going through. Right? So Lazarus dying and Jesus weeping, understanding grief and loss is a big deal for me. Jesus being betrayed and then denied, having people that he knew and he loved who turned his back or their backs on him, it's a big deal for me. The Garden of Gethsemane, the agony and the prayer, I don't want to go through this. And knowing that there are things in our lives that we just have to do, that God calls us to. And even the cross, pain, suffering, and death. For me, it's important that God really know and understand the human experience to walk alongside us. What do you need? What do you need from God? Grace. Yeah. I need grace because every day I am assured in my own mind. Well, we need her too. But I am assured in my own mind every single day that I am a failure as a father, as a pastor, as a citizen of this world. I'm not doing enough. I know I should be doing more. And so I need grace every day. Every day. What about you? What do you need? What was that? Peace, hope. Yeah. In this world that's torn apart and where we are called to be busy every second of every day, a place that says God went up the mountain to rest, to pray, and to be by himself. And that this isn't it. That we can be called to something bigger than ourselves, that we can be better than we are individually as a whole, and that God has a place for us in God's kingdom. That kind of hope. Anything else? Inspiration. Yeah. We need a God who breathes into us. That's what that word means, quite literally, but who lights us on fire, who sets us out into the world for bold service, for extravagant generosity, right? To grow and to react and to relate to our neighbors, to love one another as Christ first loved us. Hope, love, absolutely. I need a God who can look past all of my flaws and love me. And I need a place where I can be myself, whoever I am, wherever I come from, and know that I am safe and secure, welcome in that community, just as Jesus welcomed folks to his table, tax collectors, sinners, all of the people you wouldn't expect. Hudson, I see a hand up. Confidence. You need a God who inspires confidence in you, right? Right? To know that God is God, and to say that I am God's beloved, baptized, claimed, named, set free. Our gospel writers were no different than we are. They knew that God was God, and they came to worship God. But each one of them worked in and through a community, a place, and their own faith, knowing that they needed a specific way of understanding God. Mark needed to give the gift of the cross. for himself and for his community, they needed to understand how the God who they wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire, the one they were looking to for power, could somehow end up dying at the hands of the Roman Empire. And so he got in this big hurry and said, let's get to the cross. Let's talk about that cross. Everything else we'll have time for. But what we need right now is to know that that's how God's power showed up in the world. Through humility, through love, through sacrifice. Matthew said yes to the cross, but he knew that his Jewish brothers and sisters needed help understanding it. And so he put it in the context, in the language of all that had come before. The scriptures were fulfilled. This had been prophesied. We had been moving toward this moment since the very beginning. And so let's look back through the lens of our history as a people and understand what it means to be Jewish and to look for a Messiah who is crucified, resurrected, and ascended. Luke then said, but it's not just a Jewish story, because this is the one true God, the God who set all people free by that gift of grace. And so, yes, it is this story that comes from Moses and Exodus that connects us into all that has come before. And it is for all, so that each and every person might have a place to belong in God's communion, no matter how they were born, where they were born, who they were born as. John then said yes to all of those. The cross at its very center. This is a Jewish story, 100%. And there is room in it for folks who are not Jewish. But let's not forget that this is the story of the master of the universe, the one who was and is to come in the beginning. And I am. And our gospel is no different than that. If we look at John 6, there are a few little hints that he's pointing backward and making a bigger story. It starts with, they went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. The other side. It's not exactly like GPS coordinates, right? Not this specific spot. What happens is this large crowd of people follows a rabbi into the wilderness. Matthew, this is a Jewish story, right? Are you ringing any bells? A large crowd of people follows a rabbi into the wilderness. Moses is suddenly on the scene. It's not a specific spot. They're not going into a specific place. But suddenly, these folks who are these Jewish folks go, oh, I know this story. How are we going to become God's people in this? Then, it's about the time of Passover. It's getting near. Oh, but for you non-Jewish folks, that's that big festival, remember? The one where Jerusalem doubles in population for about a week? That's that one. The festival of the Jews. Now we know where we are. But this Jesus is in control. How the heck are we going to feed 5,000 people from the power box on the back corner to daily food on this corner? That's a lot. Jesus knew what he was up to. And so he asks Philip the question, knowing fully that he's going to pray and to give blessing, that from there would become this multiplication. And so John suddenly says to him, says to the people who are living in this world out of control, God is in control. And this is a blessing from Jesus. This is the only gospel that Jesus distributes the bread. In every other gospel, every other telling of the 5,000, he breaks the bread and he gives it to his disciples. This is practical, right? For those of us who feed people, right? You do a large event, if you have a single serving line, that's a mess, right? That's a mess. We want more than one. In this case, though, what John does is A, give Jesus that power to bless folks, but B, he offers that every single person is blessed by Christ. Right? It's a direct connection to the one who was and is to come. And then finally, this blessing. Do you remember what happened to the manna in the wilderness? They could only collect enough for one day, right? Otherwise it became rancid. Right? The word is like nasty, nasty in the Hebrew. Think of like mealworms and maggots is the word that's used there. That's not the case. God's blessing is not perishable. In this particular case, God's abundance is overflowing. It's enough for all people through the nation of Israel. Those 12 baskets, those 12 tribes, those 12 disciples. But it's blessing for each and every one. What John needed for his community to know about God was that they were to be in awe, to glorify and to worship, that God is God and they are not. And that God first practiced generosity with them. He gave each and every one the blessing of the bread and the fish. And that they then practiced generosity one with another. And it was not a limited blessing, right? This is not a small crowd, and the word is not most or many. It's all. And so our God shows up on this grassy place and looks out over every single one of them and claims them, shows them what it means to be generous, and welcomes them into his fold. That's what we do when we gather at the table. That's what we do when we gather together. Most days today, I need empathy and grace, hope and peace, love, confidence and inspiration. And John says, don't forget awe, generosity, inclusion, and unity. Amen.